It's the M. Russiano Radio Show with Harley Breen on Sydney's 104.1 Today FM. Well, we're very lucky now to have joining us. We just thought this week's been really upsetting, Harles, and a lot of news coverage, obviously, of the terrible events in Las Vegas. And we've both been noticing Kimmy, our EP, was at the doctors, and there was a guy there having a panic attack at the doctors about these events. So it's really affecting everyone. So we thought we'd get a psychologist in. We've got Dr. Richard Chambers. Hello, Dr. Richard.
Hi, Em.
Hi, Richard.
Thank you for coming in. Now, I just want to say APS psychologists are trained to help you get where you want to be. Find out more at believeinchange.com. Now, Richard, this has been, like, as we said, a really heavy week, and a lot of people are grappling with, you know, we get this news and we're bombarded with it now, obviously. We don't just get it at a 6 o'clock update. It's on every website. It's all over
all
the place,
time.
Social media.
Yeah.
How do we as normal people reconcile this type of atrocity?
It's so hard, isn't it? I mean, we can either close our hearts, I guess, or open our hearts, you know, and you know, activate the fight and flight response or the tend and friend response. You know, and a normal reaction in things like this is either just to avoid the situation, just turn off the news, don't think about it, don't talk about it, or perhaps a pretty normal response would be to get angry, you know, just that sort of that secondary anger, because you just can't be with the grief and the fear that's underneath. So a lot of people will just go to that. But, you know, I think in a lot of ways a healthier response would be to sort of open up your heart a little bit and to feel, you know, a little bit and sort of empathy.
Sure.
And but the problem with empathy is when we, the neuroscience shows that when we're empathizing with someone's situation, we actually start to activate the same parts of the brain that would be active if we were experiencing that ourselves.
Yes.
Yes.
And so we experience what's called empathic resonance.
Yeah.
And to a degree, that's okay. You know, to step into someone else's shoes and to kind of imagine what it must be like for them, it makes us human. And so to a degree, that's healthy. But if we get too much into that empathic resonance, we can actually start to experience what's called vicarious trauma. So sort of experiencing trauma as almost as if that situation happened to us.
Okay.
And people who suffer from anxiety have higher levels of empathy. Is that correct
I
in
think
general?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so you know, they're already particularly vulnerable because they're suffering from anxiety. These sorts of situations will trigger that. And then also there's the empathy to deal with. So if there's people like that in our lives, what's something that if maybe that, for instance, it doesn't affect me as much. I find these sort of big world events quite easy to process fairly quickly, but I have other friends in my life that it really affects them.
Yes.
What's something that I can do to help them through that?
Well, look, one thing we probably want to do is talk about it. Talk about it with loved ones, family members, maybe with our GP, a psychologist.
Sure.
Call Lifeline if it's getting too much, you know, 13, 11, 14. You know,
so
there are a lot. Talking it out is a pretty good idea. Yeah.
I think the talking it out is the big one. But I just wanted to ask, I have a 10-year-old daughter who asked the question, why would someone do this? So how on earth do you explain to a 10-year-old why someone would kill 59 people?
It's such a fine line to tread, isn't it? You know, not wanting to give them too much information and scare them about the world, but at the same time, you know, wanting to let them know that sometimes this happens and people are really unhappy. I think just to help them understand that, you know, the guy that did this was obviously really, really unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
There are obviously, you know, issues with violence and gun control issues in America. Yep. And so just to understand the big picture, I think could help a little.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, I mean, that thing of stepping into, I've really struggled with these type of things. I'm a person that has anxiety and also have high levels of empathy, and when I hear these things, I feel helpless, and then I put myself thinking, imagine if you got that phone call, and imagine if you were there, and you know, and I do struggle to quiet my mind on those things, so is there a way to reverse back out of that, taking yourself too far into the empathy and getting that secondary trauma? Is there a way as a person who suffers anxiety, is there something we can do to reverse out?
Definitely. Let's make a distinction between empathy and compassion, because the neuroscience shows that they're actually quite different things. Empathy is stepping into someone else's shoes and, as I said before, kind of experiencing as if it were happening to us. And so if we're doing that, what we want to do is to make sure that we kind of put one foot into their world, you know, and sort of feel a little bit, but not too much. And perhaps notice if we're later on, you know, still thinking about it and going to sleep thinking about it and running those thoughts through our mind. And in situations like that, a little bit of mindfulness could be good. Mm-hmm. Just to notice that we're still thinking about that thing and just to let go of the thoughts and actually focus on what's happening in front of us.
Yeah.
Okay.
Connecting with the senses, you know, tasting our meal, paying attention to the conversation we're having. And any time we connect with the senses, we're not in our thoughts. And so that's a way of managing empathy so that we don't get too far into that empathic resonance into the problematic areas.
That's such an easy thing to do. You're so right. So just, yeah, what am I chewing right now? What is that noise? How does the air feel on my face?
Yep.
What are my toes doing in my shoes?
That's right. And just keep coming back to that, Em. You just got to keep coming back over and over again because the mind will want to wander back off into those thoughts and those mm-hmm. images you've seen on TV.
I think you could almost apply that to any situation you feel out of control.
Definitely.
Couldn't you? Oh my God,
it's a great way
that.
Of dealing
That's
with
so
anxiety
easy.
And mental illness. There's a lot of research now showing that mindfulness is a very helpful thing
okay.
to practice.
Right. Well, you'll have to come back and talk to us about mindfulness. I really do want to talk to you about that. I know we were going to talk about it this week, but yeah. I'm too busy to meditate, so I need you to help me.
I can help you.
Thank God.
I've dealt with people like you before.
Oh, what do you mean by that, sir? What
well,
do you mean by
away, mate.
People
away.
Like me?
People who are too busy not to meditate.
Yes.
Let's put it that way.
Nice
but,
save.
But let's just make a final distinction between empathy and compassion, because empathy is feeling into someone else's distress.
Yes.
And compassion has an extra step where you do something to help, or at least you make the wish to be able to help.
Yes.
And it activates different parts of the brain so that we don't get flooded with empathic resonance. We don't experience the vicarious trauma. And it's actually, in a lot of ways, a much healthier response.
Yeah, great.
So that would be to sort of, you know, feel into the fact that, you know, all these people lost their lives and it's had these ripple effects all across the world. And then just at least to make the wish, you know, may people be happy, may people be less violent, or even to do something about it.
I think doing something's a great one. I think that definitely makes you feel less helpless. If you donate to a gun, you know, anti-gun lobby, or you go donate blood when these things happen. So I think it's, doing is always makes you feel less helpless. Well, Dr. Richard, thank you so much. Obviously, these are Richard's opinions and general advice and not intended to replace face-to-face counselling. So if you need any further assistance, go to your GP. It's really easy to get a trained psychologist on board. Just go to your GP. And also, obviously, contact Lifeline if this has brought up anything for you. 131114. ABS psychologist trained to help you get where you want to be. Find out more at believeinchange.com. Dr. Richard, we'll chat again soon.
Looking forward to it.
Thanks.
Thanks.